Hi, this is Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire, here with today's edition of Soundbite, our daily interview series featuring researchers, thought leaders, and newsmakers in the world of high-performance computing. With increases in system parallelism, energy-efficient data movement has become one of the key challenges in high-performance computing. Today we'll be talking with Sebastian Rumley, a postdoctoral research scientist at Columbia University, about the future of HPC-grade optical networks. Hi, Sebastian.
Hi.
Great to have you on. So if you could, please start with a high-level overview of what these data movement challenges are and maybe some of the approaches that have been used to tackle them in the past. That'll just help us lay the groundwork.
All right. So if you consider an HPC system, you're generally talking about multiple thousands of nodes. In the most recent HPC, there is 15 to 20,000. And of course, all these nodes are placed together in the same room to make generally the same computation or address the same task. And they have to communicate some information in between, otherwise they would just be some desktop computers, and that would be make no sense to have them all in the same place. So as you increase the power of the supercomputer, you have more and more data flowing on the links that link all these nodes together, up to a point that it comes challenging for, especially for energy. And still, especially if you use electrical links, this energy can be daunting. So you also have to consider that these thousands of nodes, they span over a given a certain distance, generally 10 to 15 meters. So it's not so easy to carry a lot of data over only 10 meters. It's already a big deal, especially if you use electrical links. So this is why already a few years ago, optical links have been proposed to replace these links. So everybody knows with fiber to the home, and it's a general knowledge that optical links are very good to carry information over continents or between cities. But today we already at the point that it makes sense to use optical links for connections that are a few meters long.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the barriers then to preventing this from becoming the dominant norm, or is it, or to what degree will it take maybe 5 years, 10 years more effort into this area?
Right, so optics is a very different way of doing with the data movement. So electronics, you have all your transistors, all your circuits already in electronics, so it's a matter of putting a wire and extending it to the next transistor. In optics, you really have to go to a different subsystem, and this takes time and energy, and this has a cost associated with that. So, yeah, you would not use optics everywhere because you have a lot of things to do before being able to use your optical link. I don't know if this answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely it does. So the cost then would be involved with going in and opening up existing systems. This would be something that would have to be sort of built in, baked in the actual systems going forward, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So generally when you talk about putting in optical links, you have to put the endpoints. In the middle, you'll have a fiber, and a fiber is not a big deal. It's actually very cheap, and it's even cheaper than a copper wire in many cases. But the endpoints can be expensive, and also expensive both in terms of capital expenditure. You have to pay these devices, and they generally require another fabrication process. But it's also in terms of operational cost. You have to feed them with energy, and when you come at the end of the day, these optical links, if somehow people say that the barrier is around 1 meter. Some people would say it's shorter, some people it's longer. But at some point, taking an optical link to carry information over too short distance, you have too much to pay for the savings it gives you over this short distance. We always have to compare optical communication to the actual way of doing it, which is electrical links. We know that these links, they can't be operated at a too high frequency. Afterwards, they saturate. And also, they can't go over too long distance because they attenuate the signal. So after a given distance, you have nothing remaining on your signal to find your zeros and ones again. But for small distances, they're still pretty efficient.
So let's talk a little bit about your own research. Recently, you published a paper with your co-author on HPC-grade optical networks. Can you describe what HPC-grade optical networks, what that means exactly, why it's different, and what some of your findings were?
All right. So we project ourselves in the future, maybe 5 to 10 years. So first, we extrapolate and we see that in definitely electrical transmission we will have a problem anyway with electrical transmission. So we'll have to use optics definitely in a time horizon of 5 to 10 years. Except if really drastic innovations are made in electronic system, and if you can probably reduce the size of the supercomputer in a few meters. Otherwise, it's almost sure that we're going to have optics into that. Now, you can use optics in a very simple way, which is the way it's already used in supercomputers. So you have optical links. And for us, this is not really very interesting because optical links, the endpoints are electronic. And it's a big deal to produce a link itself, but there is no networking operation involved into it. So from a networking perspective, this is absolutely what is business as usual, and it's absolutely what is already done today. Now, the question is, can we use optics to do more, especially to do the switching? So unless of just having the fibers for traveling, for carrying bits over a given distance, we also use optical system to send these bits to the left or to the right, depending on the needs. And that has potentially that can potentially drive the cost and especially the energy cost of the network down, and allow for further scaling of HPC systems. But this optical switching is definitely not an easy thing to do. First, there is no buffer in optics, so there is almost no way to keep a signal while you configure your switch. There is definitely no such things as RAM. People have proposed some delay lines, fiber delay lines, to delay the signal while you configure your switch fabric. But the lack of a buffer is definitely a big issue. There are a few other issues, especially related to link utilization. So without going too much into the detail, if you want to do optical switching, the network will be drastically different than what it looks like today. And so the work I've been doing on the paper you mentioned was to say, okay, the network will be completely different, and we need to test these different networks with realistic application, with the application that already run today in supercomputers. So let's try to mimic the best way we can, or let's try to find ways to mimic this application and try to simulate this application on optical network, and not only a network with optical links. It's a really like an optical network here.
And can you describe some of the results of that simulation?
Yeah, so it was pretty interesting to see that. So the first thing, in fact, it's pretty logic, but it wasn't. It really appears to us, if you want highly utilized links, so generally, optical link is something that is quite expensive. So once you have it, and it's expensive and it's non-energy proportional, so it means that it basically costs you the same no matter if you use it or if you're not using it. So generally, once you have an optical link, you want to have it pretty used all of the time. And what we've seen is that if we want links very highly utilized, we have to make sure that the nodes that use these links on the edge of the network have constantly something to send over it. And to have this, it means that the application has a huge, suffers a lot of latency. So I guess the listeners here know how latency is important for HPC. So we find first that there was a strict trade-off. If you want short latency, so you don't want the message to wait before going on the other side of the network, for that you have to have your buffers free at the other side of the network, and this is very bad for your link utilization. So that was one of the outcomes. And the other outcome, so I compared basically two very simple network architectures. So one was supposed to mimic electrical structure where you have buffers So you can put your packets in a little amount of time if the link is busy. And I compare that with an optical network with drastically higher bandwidth, but without buffers. And so if you just look at the latency, so if you take just at the network level the performance, they seem to perform the same. So optics is helped by the huge bandwidth that is involved, but it suffers from the fact that some packets have to be retransmitted because there is no buffer, so when there is a packet drop, then it has to be retransmitted. So from a networking point of view, they are equivalent. Now, if you look about the application point of view, the electrical network was performing better. And the reason for that is in the optical network, the mean latency was similar to the electrical network. But most of the packets had a very, very little latency, but some packets had a very large latency. And apparently these very large latency packets have a drastic impact on the overall performance of the application. So that's led us to think that we also have to consider these high latency effects. It's definitely not a good thing when a packet is dropped. Even if there is only 1% packet dropped along the way, this was perceived as a huge impact. But there is probably a way to go around that, and that's probably the future direction, is that it's what I was saying before. So again, optical networks are very different than optical networks, and we need to know more about them. And we also need to write application in a way that they will use this optical network in the most efficient way.
That was actually going to be one of my other questions. You know, what kind of impact is this going to have on software ecosystems if we were eventually to make this move?
Yeah, so that's definitely one of our biggest problems. And so it's just a bit of chicken or egg problem. So we like the software people to think more about what are the characteristics of the optical networks and already try to find ways to have application using an optical network as an optical network and not as a generic network. But this is very hard because for years the network has been just something that was working with bandwidth, with characteristic. So people are kind of attached to the business as usual. And but again, there will be a day where electrical network will saturate. And it might be the case that optics will not offer a solution, but if it might also be the case that optics can offer a solution if some changes happen at the application level.
Right, absolutely. Well, Sebastian, this has been a really interesting look ahead at what the future promises. Let me ask you for one prediction. What are supercomputers going to look like at any layer of the stack that you want to pick out in 5 years from now?
There's been many predictions of what it's going to be, so you can extrapolate what has been in the past. So generally people assume that there will be, in the strongest supercomputer, 100,000 nodes. And my vision is that probably there will be an interleaved network where you have an optical switch, an electrical switch, and an optical switch, and again, an electrical switch. I don't believe it will be able, according to, and again, you're talking about 5 years, I would give a completely different answer for 15 years, but in 5 years, I don't think that it will be possible to have an all optical network spanning over all the nodes. So we're going to have a hybrid network connecting all these nodes. Basically the feeling is that we already have optical links there. So why not, once the data is on the light, why not use these lights and switch this light in one direction than another and take advantage of the data being already on the light? And just for one hop, and then we go back, as we do today, on the electrical network, and then we go again on one optical hop. I think this is probably the way the network will look like. But now your question is very general, so I don't know how the CPU will look like or the cooling will look like, and the programming models. It's really a multifaceted question.
Sure, there's a lot to that question. I just had a feeling you would answer it from the network perspective, so you went right into that. Well, please keep us informed when you publish some new research, and I'm sure that this will draw some people to your work. I know that there's a lot of interest around this in certain circles. So, Sebastian, thanks a lot for taking time today.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.